What's going on, everybody? You are here with us for another week with the Godfathers of Podcasting. My name is Donnie Da Silva, and we have a fun one lined up for all of you. Make sure that you go to our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com/shop. Yep, that's right. I'm sending you directly to the store. Don't even check out nothing else. Just go right shopping and buy yourself some new stuff. Look, another week, I'm rocking new merch. Look at this. The red t-shirt with the classic logo. I'm loving it. More merch on the way. We're also going to be doing some giveaways so that you guys can win some merchandise for free. We'll tell you how you can do that in the next few days on our Facebook group. Make sure you join facebook.com and then look up The Godfathers of Podcasting. You can also find us on Instagram at the same handle, at The Godfathers of at Godfathers of Podcasting, not the. And you can also find us live on our own website. You can find us in archive format on all your favorite podcast aggregators, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all the other good ones out there. And that's what we do. And we do it each and every week, and we do it for you. But go and buy some stuff so we can keep doing it, because this stuff ain't free. I'm joined, of course, by the other Godfathers right here in the house. My bro, Danny O, and the Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell. What's up, fellas?
Man, I just love watching you get all scattery and stuff. It's funny to me. Oh, I got to tell you.
No, I'm not usually that scattery.
You really are tonight, but I got to tell you, this week I'm feeling ashy. I don't know what that means, but that's ashy. Too much sun. Yeah, I just looked down. And I was like, oh, that stuff's starting to come off because we don't got no good sunlight no more, right?
You need to cream your heel back, guy.
I didn't know I'm white.
Oh, my bad. Do natives get ashy when they look white?
yeah, light-skinned brothers get ashy too, Dan.
Black people look white, don't get ashy. Yeah, no. You get crusty, though. There's ashy and there's crusty. You know what I'm saying? My man Asylum knows about the crusty heel backs. That's when it gets bad.
Yes. Yo, crusty heel backs are the worst, man. You got to take care
they
of
them. They are the worst. Yeah.
Right?
Really bad. I see it's Red Day today. There wasn't a memo, but...
I know. That was total accident.
What's all that crazy about? Yeah,
I just wanted to rock the new merch.
The new merch is dope. I definitely got to get my hands on some. I just had to rock this for my pops. Donnie, I know you have soccer jerseys. You don't have any with a star on it though. You see this? That there? Yeah. You don't have one like that. But I'm rocking this for my pops, man. Whose birthday was yesterday, and it's the third birthday he's had since he hasn't been here to celebrate. So
this one's for you, Eduardo.
Yes, thank you very much. Much love, and I love you, Dad. Happy birthday.
He was a good man. I liked him a lot. And you, Dan, have continued to pay homage and tribute and do a yeoman's amount of work in your father's name. For those that don't know the story that happened, about 3 years ago, Dan's father was tragically taken in a horrific accident, hit by a car. And Dan petitioned the city and worked his ass off for the better part of 2 years to make sure that intersection got a stoplight put up.
That was actually dedicated to him. Done. Yeah, that was something that should have been done long before.
For sure.
And it's sad that it took something like that for it to happen. But props to you for following through and making sure that it did happen. Not that it could have happened, that it did happen.
That it did happen.
That's dope. Yeah, man. Good for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. And I appreciate you, Don. Didn't know we were going to go all there, but.
Hey, man, we're there.
I actually forget. It actually took, surprisingly, less than the 2-year process. And a huge shout out. Deserves to go to a former city councilor named Chin Lee, who my father actually was at a meeting of his that night and passed coming home from that, and working directly with Chin, he helped me with respect to petitioning the city to get the lights up. And within a year, it was approved and put up, and they are there now. So I call them Tati's Lights. They're just north of Steele's on McCowan. Had they been there, my dad would still be here. So God willing, nothing like that will ever happen on that path of road again. Without those lights, there would be an extremely long path of road between Alton Towers and Steele's, which people always cross because there's bus stops on either side of the road. There's a neighborhood on one side. There's a community center on the other side, and literally no way to cross unless you're going to take a super long walk, either north or south. No one has to do that anymore because of this lights and obviously crosswalk. So, you know,
this one's for you, Eduardo Feraldo, affectionately known as Tati.
Yeah.
This one's for you, my man. And
thank you, man. Thank you, guys.
Good dude.
Yeah. So enough now, smoke up your ass. What else is going on?
Coming up later on in the program, I want to tee it up quickly. We are going to be joined by a friend of the show, longtime friend of my bro, Danny O, hip hop icon here in the Great White North. Chaclair coming down with a Northern touch a little bit later on. Nicole, the TV girl, is going to be in a little bit with some of the news. And there is some weird stuff going on in the news this week, especially in the entertainment news. And some stuff I want to touch on later when Shox joins us. But, you know, and I don't want to be too heavy-handed with all the stuff right off the open. Obviously, we give the tribute to your father. Another horrific story in the last 48 hours is another guy who's a friend of the show, Shad Gaspard. Former professional wrestler with the WWE, was out at a beach in Los Angeles on Sunday, got hit by a high tide. Rescue workers came out to try and help. He insisted that they help his 10-year-old son first. They got his 10-year-old son, and then they never saw him again. And it's been a little bit more than 48 hours now since Shad's been seen. He's now presumed dead. And when you talk about some of the nicest people you could ever interact with, that's Shad Gaspard. And you know what, guys, this isn't one of those topics where we need to really go around the table, but it's just, it is a shitty thing. He was a great guy. He was someone that I interacted with quite a bit on social media. And if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember, Tid, did we have him as a guest on the old show?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. He's a fantastic human being. I mean, not even talk about what happened a couple of years ago. He stops an armed robbery in progress as well.
Yeah, that guy was a real life superhero.
This is a dude who has done more, you know what I mean? And even in the final little bit, like, he's like, save my son first. You know, that's the first rule of thumb if you're in a plane and going down, is to take care of yourself. He was selfless enough to do that. You know what I mean? And it's a shame when, you know, a human being has to go out like that, man. And so, you know, to his family and all of his friends, a lot of friends of mine that are very, very close with him for many, many years, you know what I mean? To all of them, like, our heart goes out to y'all as well. So, wow, did we know we were going to get this somber?
I know.
Out the gate? Look at us. The morose mofos of podcasting.
That's us.
Definitely. All right, let's pick it up. Let's pick it up.
The only place to go from here is up, boys.
We got all the sad shit.
That's why you start off shitty. Because
we got all the sad shit out the way early.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, I want to ask you guys what you think about this story that hit me. I thought this was really funny for a couple of reasons. On May 15th, last Friday, Spencer Dinwiddie, who is an NBA player with the Brooklyn Nets, obviously right now he ain't saying nothing because sports are shut down. But Spencer Dinwiddie put out a message on social media and let his fans know. And in case you're not familiar with who Spencer Dinwiddie is, he's not even a household name in his own household, but Spencer Dinwiddie is a pretty good little point guard who over the last couple of years, people have, you know, thought, yeah, he could be something special and maybe he's all right. And he's a nice player. He publicly stated that he was going to launch a GoFundMe page and his next NBA contract will be for any city that manages to raise $25 million in Bitcoin.
Wow.
So essentially, he would be circumventing the salary cap in the NBA and saying, right. NBA team, pay me nothing. Pay me a dollar, right? Whatever the league minimum is that year. I'll come play for you because I got my 25 million in Bitcoin from your fan base. So my first thought was, whoa, this is weird. This is like the new Wild West of salary cap circumvention. And this is this is like the ultimate, like the fans get to have their say, right? And his comment was, shoe companies and endorsers influence team decisions all the time. My biggest endorsers will always be the fans. So I want to have some fun this year, and I hope no owners or team personnel participate so that there's no impropriety on this kind of endorsement deal and the fans get to make the decision. So 4 days, this GoFundMe page was open. Okay. He raised, I want to get the number right, $1,150. And then he shut the page down.
Wait, how many days?
He took it down?
He took it down.
He took it down? Oh, man.
It's still there, but it's 4 days.
He should play for that amount. Because if it's all about, for real, because if it's all about the fans, then bro, dog, apparently you're worth $1,100, dog. So do it for the fans, just like you said. I don't know who raised that much. But dude,
you should play for $1,100 for the New York Knicks.
Based on how many games? How many games?
82 game schedule.
82 games.
Oof, that's like what, 36 cents a game?
That's apparently what he's worth. If you're such a badass in today's world of GoFundMe and everything's online, and you think you can connect with everybody online, so it's like, okay, I'm going to connect with all the fans. Brooklyn obviously has a massive population. New York State has a big population. You think that maybe those would be the fans who might pay him. Nah, you got $1,100, bro. Play for that.
I mean, if you're a fan.
That's as much as you can raise. I even raised more than that for my album a couple of albums ago.
Dude. I've seen hamsters trying to get like prosthetics on GoFundMe that can raise more than that motherfucker right there.
Yo, dude.
Like that is sad.
Ain't there been people who started GoFundMe for ridiculous things, like to make a bowl of mac and cheese or mashed potatoes or something real?
All kinds of nonsense.
Yeah, yeah,
and they made more money than dude to play basketball.
It's called Patreon now.
Yeah, same thing.
Yes, I know what that is.
Put it this way. Like when he says this is for the fans, here's the irony.
Right,
which fan base should an athlete be most concerned with? The one he currently represents. Agreed?
Correct.
So if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, you're like, fuck you, Spencer. Right. You're gonna whore yourself out to whichever fan base throws down $1,100. Peace.
Well, let's be realistic. Ain't nobody in Brooklyn know how to do Bitcoin.
That's another thing.
Ain't nobody other than like what 37 people in all of North America know what to do with Bitcoin in the first place.
Wait, but when's the last time you were in Brooklyn, Ted? If there's a city that knows Bitcoin, it's bougie ass Brooklyn. I'm telling you, I think they invented Bitcoin.
Maybe Don, was he saying that he needed to raise 25 million from one particular city or in total?
I don't know. I didn't really get that
because
much into it.
You could raise, let's suppose he did raise, which obviously he can't raise 25 million. If like, I don't know, 5 million happened to be the most generated from one city, does he play for that city and the other 20 million's paid for whoever else?
Yeah, you know what I
guess. What was the logic in him thinking this was going to work?
I think the logic was he was really high one night and said,
right.
You know what would be awesome?
hold on. Dan.
Yo.
Are you trying to say that we like we get behind this and see how many of the like the GOP fans can like send this broke ass motherfucker some money?
Nah, I just want to set up a GOP GoFundMe to prove we can raise more money than this dude, Spencer Dinwiddie. That's all. That's my whole mission in life is we more popular than him?
So we're going to make a GoFundMe page just to say, hey, Spencer Dinwiddie, we raised more money than you. Now you got to come on the GOP and defend yourself.
And here's what's up. We can put that money towards new merch that says the Godfathers of Podcasting have more money than Spencer Dinwiddie. And We'll send that shit free to everybody who supports the GoFundMe. If you want a GOP, we can design it. Like, you know, the better than sign. Which one is it?
Right.
This way? That way? The better than sign. GOP this way, that way. Spencer Dinwiddie. That's a t-shirt.
Fuck, that's funny.
GoFundMe.
We're going to have to get the name, like, it wraps around the side, though.
Maybe. What's his name? Dimwit?
Yeah, it does sound. It sounds like Dimwit a diss.
E.
His Dimwit? Name sounds like a diss.
Like, I thought you were talking like it was a rib, like this person didn't exist.
It does
or
sound like one.
Nah, man. Okay. So, what about you guys? Before Nicole's going to be joining us any minute with the news, you guys had anything else on your minds from this past week? It's been a short week because we were on the air last Thursday. So, right. It's only been a few days since we all touched base, but anything on your minds?
Well, you know what? They finished off the Jordan thing, man.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great speaking of the Jordan thing, Horace Grant. I reached out to Horace Grant today because he was a guest on one of my old podcasts, and I'm trying to see if we can get him here, maybe as soon as next episode. Horace Grant came out today on ESPN and he was like, F MJ.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
He's like, MJ calls me a snitch. MJ says, I'm the one that was talking. He's like, MJ is the snitch in his own documentary talking about the stuff that was going on in hotel rooms in his rookie year. He's the snitch.
Wow.
Right. And Horace is straight up going, I would never snitch on things that happen behind closed doors. And if you think about it, a few weeks ago when we had Tracy Murray on the show, that was his point as a former NBA player. Yes, this is great. The fans get a look inside, but man, there is a lot of secrets that are not ever supposed to be public.
Right.
No, and I'm sure there's a lot of NBA players that have a problem with it.
That's across the board, man. That's across the board with 100%. Any kind of sport, any kind of brotherhood, any kind of camaraderie, right. Any kind of private club, if you will. You know what I mean? And that's what all of these things are. It's a private club of these dudes all doing their thing while having some fun and playing ball or, you know, playing baseball or wrestling or whatever the case may be, right? Anytime you have that kind of camaraderie, like, that's what's going to happen. And if you're going to go out there and just be a stooge or be a snitch or whatever, I got no time for that, man. It's a very old school thing still, though, right? Because new school is like, well, it's available. Everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody sees everything nowadays. So, you know what I mean? They make it all available for everybody. I don't understand why we just can't talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you, Horace Grant is no snitch. I will tell you.
Was there something specific, Don, that he was referring to? Because after 10 episodes, I'm trying to remember
There was a bunch of stuff. He was talking about stuff for some book or something that came out. And he said, you know, how did they find out all that stuff? I bet it was Horace that told him. And Horace is maintaining today, MJ is still bitter, you know, because Horace didn't take the lowball offer he got from Jerry Krause and said, fuck y'all, I'm going to Orlando. And then Horace was part of the team that eliminated Michael from the playoffs when Michael made his comeback from baseball. And Horace played like a beast, man, that year. So I'm sure there's
interesting to see the fallout from this doc, man.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be some. Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, rocking her Jay's cap and a little bit of red. Let's hear it for the TV girl, our news anchor. Here's Nicole. What up, girl?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We doing all right. Well. How you doing?
Well, it's funny that you guys are talking about the Jordan doc, because the one thing I was just reading is that Michael Jordan's mansion, which is up for sale for $29 million, has fallen to $14.9 million.
Is that because of the documentary?
Yeah, the ratings were not good.
Seriously, but yo, there's always a reason.
That's still expensive because Spencer Dinwiddie can't afford that.
Yo. That's Danny O down there. I don't know if you were with us last week when we established he ain't even got no food in his fridge. Of course, $14 million.
So, I mean, there's going to be impact everywhere, and financially is going to be where it hurts the most, right? Like, Jordan needs any more money, but I'm just saying.
I mean, it's a shit housing market right now, right? Like, this is the weirdest time to move. So I'm sure if he holds off on that bad boy, if you've ever Googled Michael Jordan's house, like his main house, it looks like it's worth more than $29 million. It's ridiculous. So,
when you're living in a $29 million mansion, where do you want to move to?
$30 million mansion. I know.
Or do you downsize?
He's downsizing to a one-bedroom condo.
Right?
He's moving in with Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yo, Dan. So
he's going to be my punchline all show.
No. Yo, do you guys realize, like, we at the beginning of that whole dimwit thing, we said that this is a name that ain't been mentioned in his own household.
Right.
And you two mofos have mentioned it like 13 times, and y'all's
we're going to make him a household name. He owes us $1,100.
Oh, MATA. Or MDGA, making dimwitty great again. That's what you're doing?
There you go.
Ah, I love it. All right, Nicole, what's in the news other than the garbage we're talking about?
All right, guys, as usual, we're going to start off on a little bit of a serious note. We'll get it out of the way before.
Oh, we've been so serious this week.
Yeah, but you know what? I think we all have to take a second to honor our Canadian snowbirds. For anybody who knows this acrobatic team, for those listening who don't, they are incredible to watch. They are a they're an acrobatic team, and they are a national treasure to us. On Sunday, unfortunately, performing Operation Inspiration, which was their cross-country tour to honor our first responders, one of the planes did crash. And unfortunately for me, this is where, again, news meets my professional life. Mm-hmm. I did know Captain Jen Casey. Jen was the public affairs officer for the Canadian Snowbirds, but she was also a journalist, a former journalist with the company I worked for. So obviously this has hit our professional family once again. She was an amazing woman. She worked really hard, and I remember the day that she got her job with Snowbirds, she was so damn excited.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know, and then, you know, let's remember her partner as well in the plane, Captain McDougall. He was critically injured, but he is still alive. And I just think it's important to take a moment just to acknowledge that, you know, they were injured doing something they both loved. And for us, you know, this acrobatic team really just highlights and showcases our patriotism. Patriotism, I should say. Anybody who's seen these planes fly can't help but hold their breath just for a second, because they're just absolutely stunning. I've had the opportunity to fly with them quite a few years ago, and just want to acknowledge and hopefully they'll figure out what happened so that God forbid a crash like this happens again.
So a side note on that same story, it brings back a lot of memories for me, because if y'all remember the story from Toronto at the exhibition place in the CNE, going back many years. I don't remember what year it was, 89, 90, maybe something like that. I was a kid volunteering on the first aid unit at the CNE. And I was one of the first responders when they had that massive snowbird crash that happened right there as thousands of people were sitting there watching by Lake Ontario. And I was like, maybe 13 or 14 years old, and I was not prepared for the heinous shit that happened that day. That was a really fucked up day. And I'm like, whoa, this, I thought I was handing out band-aids for bee stings. Like, this is not what I thought I was doing. This is a next level thing. So when I heard the story on the weekend, tragic, it brought back those images for me. Our thoughts obviously go out to the family and friends of Jen Casey and everyone else that was affected. And it's terrible, terrible situation. Thanks for bringing that up.
We should give a shout out, actually, because today is, well, we're keeping in line with our first responders, our healthcare workers. Today is Personal Support Worker Day. So let's all give a shout out. These are the guys that are in the long-term care facilities. They are working with our most vulnerable. They have been at risk right since COVID-19 began. So I think it's a real opportunity to just give them all a shout out and just say thank you, guys, for being there.
There's no question. I've actually posted in recent weeks that I legitimately believe that there is no profession on earth more important than those who dedicate themselves to healthcare. Whether you're a doctor, nurse, long-term care facility. In the last couple of years of my grandmother's life, she was in a long-term care facility. We needed their help. It was legitimately like not something we wanted to do, something we had to do. And without them, life would have been so much harder for the entire family, not just my grandmother. And obviously with this COVID situation, these people are the ones who are now putting themselves in danger to keep the rest of us safe and healthy. So forget the pandemic. They are already our most important people. And during a pandemic, there's no one who deserves more thanks, more praise, and more appreciation and gratitude. So I definitely thank them. And I encourage everybody to recognize just how important they are. And remember that well after the pandemic, how important they are to all of us.
Yeah.
Yo, it's something that like we've all kind of taken for granted. Like when you look at like all of the different jobs that everybody has out there and you think to yourself, we live in a society where, you know, everybody's free to have their own jobs and do their own thing and create these businesses and do that. And then we realize that like there's a certain number of people that we just cannot as a society survive without. And right. These are those people, these are those support workers that, you know, not necessarily like, we've been given lots of love to all of the, like those frontline workers, you know, the medical staff, but it's all the support workers behind them. It's maybe not, you know, the people working at the hospital that don't get the love. It's still the people. What about all of the other people that are like, yo, we're still open. We're still trying to make this happen and they're not getting the love. That's the support people. So, you know, I say thank you very much to everybody that I've come in contact with at the beer store, the liquor store, the beer store, and even the liquor store,
right?
For being those support workers that we all need. Oh, and the dispensaries.
I agree. I've done grocery shopping, believe it or not, Tid. And I've actually said thank you as I passed.
Right. Yeah, you have to, man. Because like they're every day they go to work.
Yeah.
Every day they go to work, they're putting, because you know as well as I do, people suck and people are stupid and people do stupid things all the effing time, man.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one person screwing it up for everybody.
Yeah.
And you know what? They don't get enough appreciation. When I was in the grocery store on the weekend, I just go by and I say thank you and I engage them in conversation, right?
And they're blown away.
Well, and they laugh because they're like, you haven't been getting out much, have you? And I'm like, I just wanted to say thank you. But yes, you are the first person I've talked to in a week. But they really do deserve that thank you. Anybody out there doing what they do to keep us drank, fed, everything else, they deserve the thank you.
For sure.
Yo, can I just throw this out there before we go any further, guys? Are we going to have any, like, smoke to blow up Chuck Clare's ass by the time he comes on this show? Because everybody is getting the love from us this week, and it's crazy, right?
When Chuck Clare comes on, you tell him you hate him.
But I got somebody that we
you
don't...
tell him you hate his music, and you didn't want him on the air this week.
But that would be a lie. That would be a lie.
No, more would. Smoke.
It would be a lie, though.
But
you want all the smoke.
You've got a guy next that you can love him or hate him. Donald Trump. You guys know I love him.
Love him. Love him.
So I got two for you. I got a two for you this week.
All right.
So the one thing, so of course, he claims now that he's taking an anti-malarial medication, which has not been deemed safe by any doctor. And he holds a press conference just to announce that he's taking this medication.
Yep.
This is a guy who a few weeks ago, whether you want to say that he suggested it, inferred it, whatever.
I was being sarcastic.
Right? And now we have, again, we had, you know, Clorox and bleach makers coming out and warning the public back then. Now we've got the same doctors coming out and saying, not safe.
Yeah, so what is it he's taking?
Clorox wet wipes.
It's called hydrochloroquine. And it's
hydroxychloroquine.
He calls it hydroxy because he can't even pronounce what he's taking.
Yo, could you imagine if they added like hydroxycut to it? Like, because they clearly got a supply of that shit that didn't sell on TV, right?
He might drop a few.
Well, I think President Plump is actually trending today because it's got something to do with weight. It is supposed to impact weight loss as well.
Hydroxycut is definitely used for that.
Yeah, right? But apparently Pelosi went on and she made a statement about this, you know, because she was like, listen, and I'm just paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
I'm not getting it exact, but she was like, listen, I don't think that like the president, he is our president, and I'm very concerned.
Not my president.
That he's taking things that he's taking things that he probably shouldn't, given his age, first of all, and giving his size, being morbidly obese.
Right.
And I was like, wow, there's the dig. Like, at the end of the day, everybody's just digging everybody.
Yeah, she's taking
Is there a bigger troll than Donald Trump right now?
He's a troll.
In the world, he's a complete troll, and that's what he's doing. You can see it in his eyes. He doesn't believe anything. He even says himself.
No, but that's the problem, Ted. I think he does believe it, and I think it's like that immature playground logic.
Yes,
you know, like what kids used to fight about. Like, listen, his logic is like this. I'm going to do his logic right now. I'm drinking Tiger beer, and I don't have coronavirus. Tiger beer prevents coronavirus. Drink Tiger beer. Because I don't have coronavirus, it's working for me.
Taking the playground kid attitude one step further, if anyone comes out and says, hey, Tiger beer doesn't cure coronavirus, he's all of a sudden not down with you. He's come out against, believe it or not, Fox News.
I know.
Because someone came on Fox News and basically said, you're a fucking moron, Donald Trump. So now that's fake news. Anything that's in disagreement with him is fake. He's just, you don't want it, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. That's his response.
Hold up, Dan. Are we missing the bigger picture here?
Yo,
probably.
That Donnie just slid in a commercial and we ain't getting paid for it?
That's a good point, man. How much
Tiger beer prevents coronavirus.
Look at this guy. This guy. I cheat every day. Mother.
Here comes a check.
But what do we think about Donald Trump refusing to take part in a 40-year ceremony to raise President Barack Obama's picture in the White House?
I heard that.
I heard he sent it back for touch-ups.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I heard.
We all know.
He wanted to change his complexion on the portrait.
We all know there's a contentious relationship between the two. You know, Trump feels that Obama accused him of a crime.
It's bigger than that. It's not just the fact that Trump has an issue with Obama, and that's why he's not going to honor the storied tradition of the incumbent president revealing the portrait of the outgoing president in the White House. No, it's bigger than that, as far as I'm concerned, because last week there was a story about the teacher of the year being announced, and he's an African-American man. And Trump said he was not going to honor him. This is something that the president of the United States does every single year. A couple of weeks prior to that, the NFL had a draft. The number one overall pick was a brother. And he didn't thank that guy. He didn't congratulate that guy. He congratulated number two that was a white boy. Like, I'm sorry, but this is a pattern. He just conveniently forgets to honor people when they don't resemble his heritage. And but people can hate on me and go, oh, you're being ridiculous, that's not the case. Maybe, but you know what, there's one little droplet after another, one little clue after another. How many times is he going to do something so, like, why would he honor the teacher of the year?
But Donnie, come on. Candace Owens has already told us we make racism up, okay? Yeah. There's no way he could be racist, right?
No.
Ahmaud Arbery's killers, they're not racist either. I don't know why everyone has to assume that just because niggers are winning shit and Donald Trump ain't friggin' celebrating them, that he's racist. Come on. He's not racist. He's gotta love niggers. He probably says nigger every day. That's how I know he loves niggers.
I've heard straight up, and Donald Trump has said this, and we'll have to go back and we'll have to find the tape, right? But he has said in his own defense, all of this is total BS. I do not see coloreds.
Oh, God. Stop it, yeah. Ted.
It's too obvious. It's gotten to the point where it's obvious. Like, I don't even know how to respond this. That's why I'm joking, because I don't know how to respond in a way that's going to make it any clearer what the reality is of it. And Donnie just listed the three past weeks and three different incidents, and we can keep going and going and going. This goes back to when Obama was president and the whole birther issue and how Obama wasn't born in the States and how he has to do. I mean, it is not unlike, you know, and there was recent footage, by the way, of Ahmaud Arbery being accosted by police 3 years ago when all he was doing was sitting in the car rhyming to himself. we, as people of color, continue to have to prove that we're not doing anything wrong. When we're not doing anything wrong, we got to prove we're not doing anything wrong. There was no difference when Obama, who was born in the United States of America, because Hawaii is a state, had to prove it.
Well, no other in fairness, Obama kind of sounds like Osama, so he got confused.
Well, don't forget his middle name's Hussein as well, and he
correct
has to mention that every time.
That's so right. His name is Hussein. Do I have to go any further?
Yeah, it has to get to a point where it's obvious, and this was my point on last week's podcast. When you make your decision simply based on your political allegiances, you are choosing purposeful blindness. You are going to say things like, I'm going to try hydroxychloroquine. Guaranteed people are going to because of Trump's recommendation. Forget the doctors.
God, I hope so.
Yep.
Absolutely. And there are people who will continue their own racially biased thinking because the president does so it's got to be okay.
Advil cures cancer because I don't have cancer and I've taken Advil. So
yeah, he's been, that's literally what he said. He's like, I've been taking it. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Don't hate.
It must work.
Stop hating because he's got a better immune system than y'all.
Nicole, we're expecting to be joined by our guest shortly. You have another news story for us?
I got one more. I want to hear your opinion on this because you guys are all into sports. Obviously, we're all into sports.
I hate sports.
So NFL, NHL have decided they're going to start looking at the full face mask opportunity right now because of COVID-19.
Oh, Don Cherry must be going nuts.
NFL wants to create a full one with the full N95 medical their face mask. NHL, same thing. They want to cover their players' faces right up. What do you guys think? Because there's been controversy with the NHL one because they want fans to be able to see their player and connect with the player.
You already can't see them.
You look at the number on the back of the jersey, you can't see the damn face until they're standing on the sidelines or sitting in the box.
And
who's
making that argument on behalf of the NHL? Players or the league? That sounds like dumb players who league. Think people knows who the hell they are.
For NHL, it's the league. For NFL, they've actually taken the steps to start testing the medical.
You know why? I can see them doing this in the NFL because they're going to try to do everything that they can, because if they're going to be doing games with no crowd there, they're going to have to do something to suppress all of the shit talking that goes on at the front line. And they're going to either have to pump in some Goldberg music over top of everybody or something like that, or give them full masks so that you can't hear what they're saying because they talk some shit.
I'm
going to tell you why this won't work. This is the reason. Every athlete spits. Okay. A goalie's got to put the water, got to spit it. Everyone's
true.
Baseball, this would never work. Between
they're basically spit machines.
The gum, the tobacco, and the
tobacco, yeah.
Saliva, you can't wear a mask in place.
That's not true. I heard every one of the Dallas Cowboys swallows.
Oh, I'm Savannah
Ortman's. Shout out Mike Bucci. Hey!
Okay. The New York Giants. But I don't care, so I'll take that joke. Good one.
They suck too.
Hey, Tid, that brings up a really good sidebar question I want to ask you. Which sport do you think has the most shit talk of all the four major sports?
Out of basketball, baseball, football, and
hockey? No one seems to really shit talk in soccer because they all speak different languages.
Well, that's not true, though. That's not true. They do, and they do it in their own language, apparently.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Well, we're talking like North American real sports.
Yeah, if your opponent can't understand you, I'm not counting it as shit talk.
Right.
I would probably have to baseball's pretty stiff for the stuff that they talk back and forth, but I'd have to say football probably for the most part, because they've got the most, like, they're in tight spaces where they're talking to one and each other. They don't got to yell across the field. You know what I mean? They don't got to wait till the guy gets close enough to him up against the boards and they've got him pressed for a couple of seconds. No, they're in each other's faces like 30 plus times in a game, like standing there looking eye to eye at one another. Yeah. My opinion, football for sure. Next to pro wrestling.
Word. It's either got to be football or basketball because brothers know how to throw down disses, yo. Favorite comics and
it's not basketball
writers,
anymore.
We got an anthology of disses ready for each other. They be dissing like crazy on the court and on the field. I know.
Yep. Ron Artest. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, but he's been retired for a minute. Like the basketball trash talk game has fallen off. It used to be basketball was number one, I would say. Probably football at this point.
Probably. Definitely the one where you're in the closest quarters to your opponent, for sure.
We have to specify.
More white people playing basketball nowadays.
We got to specify, though.
They don't know how to throw down, man. They don't know how to throw words.
We got to specify the shit talk in football is NFL, not CFL. In CFL, it's like, oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Did I run into you? Let me help you there. All right. Thanks, Nicole.
How do you provide trash talk, though?
I don't know. You know what's interesting is there's no trash talk in UFC.
Bye, Nicole.
Nicole's gone, guys.
Only leading up.
Leading up, but not during the fight, because no one wants to waste that oxygen.
Right?
Guys, it is time right now to welcome in this week's featured guest. And let me just introduce him to all of you out there. He is a six-time Juno nominee and a four-time winner. He's released many critically acclaimed singles and full-length albums. His debut album, Ice Cold, went gold in Canada, and the track Let's Ride, in addition to winning various awards, has been my personal summer anthem for years. He released a new track called Suave Dirt Dogs just a few weeks ago. Ladies and gentlemen, he likes chilling, Monday Night Raw watching, him and Danny O at the Sky Dome when it's in town. His peoples know he just be regular, so haters start dissing, but steady recite his lyrics, all with his dick in their mouth. Here it is, Shot Claire.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of dick in a mouth, Donnie.
What a wonderful intro. Hey,
let me tell you, Don, I don't like giving you credit, but you've become the ultimate intro master over the past few weeks, dog.
I gotta have something going for me.
Yeah, you have that. Only that, but you have it.
Shocks looks like he's coming to us live from Leon's. What's going on with the rug on the wall?
Well, you know, it's actually the brick, but other than that, you know, just chilling, just working away. Yeah, chilling, Monday Night Raw watch, although it's Tuesday, and it used to be SmackDown night, but now it's Friday.
That's right. That's right. So I have to ask.
I like that decor, bro. You look like the Princess of Mundo right now.
No, it's Aztec. It's Aztec behind it.
That's
right. It's Princess of Mundo.
Yeah, it's a little warm in here, so you got a little bit of the glistening going on.
You got the glistening. I've always got that glisten, bro.
No. Look, I'm talking about how fucking ashy and peely I'm looking, all glowy and stuff, and then there's Don.
I'm like translucent compared to y'all. Hey, Shocks, I need to know, man, because like when that track came out, Northern Touch, what year was that?
That came out like December 97, January 98. It kind of flew over the new year. So it was December, January.
And that song has often been referred to as, you know, really a Toronto hip hop anthem. But that line, a Canadian hip hop anthem. Yeah. But that line in there, me and Danny O at the Sky Dome when it's in town. How many times since that song came out have you and Danny O been at the Sky Dome when it's in town?
I think maybe twice.
Yeah,
maybe legit, Dan?
I know for sure once, because that's where the line came from. But I'm not sure I can't remember if we went to another one after that. We may have.
We did. If you remember, we actually went to a Nitro.
Oh,
it was a Nitro, but yeah. I was.
That's a different song.
Yeah, but we went to a Nitro.
Song, yeah.
But I was a Raw fan, and I sort of knew the guys on Nitro because some of them were former WWE people. Right. But I was. So we did go to Nitro, but we went to Raw. I mentioned Raw, but we did go to Nitro that night.
Yeah. I think maybe one other event, I think.
And maybe
now, in fairness, it ain't called Skydome no more anyway. So, you know, it's
still Skydome to me, bro.
It's still Skydome.
It's a giant turtle.
It is one of the ugliest. It's one of the ugliest stadiums in North America, but it's still Skydome.
Hey, man. It was the first retractable roof. So, you know, we started it off, man.
You see, you know what? It's the ugliest one now, but in what did it open? 1990 or something like that?
88.
89.
89.
88.
it was the state of the art, but now we're 30 years behind. Now we're 30 years behind. So
even the city of Toronto smartened up though. They're like, yo, this thing is an eyesore. Let's put up a bunch of buildings around it see it no more, man. You drive into Toronto and it's like, where'd it go? Where'd that giant building go? Oh, it's tucked in behind a bunch of shit now.
It's true. When you used to come right on the DVP going towards it, you used to have this clear shot. And now, it's all covered up. I still love it. All good, man.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with it whenever they go and build a new stadium. Like, what they're going to build on? Are they going to build a stadium on top of that one? Or
do y'all even remember what was there? Because I tripped out. I saw this going a few weeks ago. There's like, if you go on YouTube, there's a building the Sky Dome in like fast forward. It's like 5 minutes of the entire thing being built. And when they were building it, the middle of the field, there was still buildings there. So they built around a building before they tore that building down. Yeah. It's kind of crazy to see because I can't remember Toronto without it, even though
it's been a minute.
You've been living all your life. I can't remember Toronto without it either. I'm trying. Maybe it was like because the steam whistle was there, right? So maybe it was like some train tracks and a couple of small buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
Shocks. I want to go back for a second. We were talking about Northern Touch. I remember marking out like a little kid, 2018 at the Juno Awards, when Cardinal Official says, "Hey, everybody's all here. Let's do this right now." I've always wondered, was that completely spontaneous or did y'all talk about that backstage and say, you know, if we get the live mic, we're just going to do this shit?
It was kind of like more of like, you know, if the opportunity comes, then we might as well. Like, you know, like we're at that in 18, that was the 20th anniversary officially, because then that song ran for 1998.
Right.
The year. So it was like officially the year. So it was like, and this was like the first time that all of us were there at the same time, like in years.
Crazy.
So it was like, what are we going to do? Like, it matters if the opportunity came. And like, so we kind of had a thought about it, but we didn't know if we were going to do it. And then when Cardi was like, yo, we here, let's do it. And we just went there and yo, as Chuck D said, bum rush show.
Yeah. It seemed like a bum run.
It felt like a missed opportunity though. Cause when I saw y'all there and you did the little acapella impromptu version, I'm watching this going, man, someone play the track and let's do this up. Like, let's do it right. Everybody's there. What are you going to go to? Ann Murray? Like, come on.
That's the difference.
Yeah. That's the difference. If we had like, you know, it, like the Oscars back in the day where the Oscars would have like the band and you can go and whatever, I would have looked at the maestro and said, yo, you know, like, let's go and rock it. And maybe the band would have chimed in and
played
with us. But yeah,
like, I got the cassette right here, bro.
Yeah. I got the DAT tape.
Well, bro, I just got to say, man, I appreciate you. And I want to say publicly, thank you, because of all of the years of my career, like my claim to fame, biggest accomplishment of my career is being mentioned in the song. And
that's your biggest career accomplishment.
That's my biggest
career being mentioned in a song.
I'm halfway joking, because real talk, at the time that you guys performed that, and you did it a cappella, right, on the Junos, and my daughter's mom messaged me, because apparently that was on their television. My daughter was with her at the time, and my daughter said he mentioned daddy's name, so she got hype having seen you on the Junos drop those bars a cappella. So big claim to fame. I was like a big star in my daughter's eyes, thanks to you.
I'm not gonna lie, when I watched it in 2018, I half expected Chaclaire to punk you and be like, me and Socrates at the Sky Dome when it's in town.
You know what, it's like one of those things where I like, even if I was to try and do it, then people would have came back and been like, yo, you didn't do the verse right.
Right.
It's like, no, it's not Socrates or whatever. It's always got to be Daddy O. And it's like, so
no doubt.
You can't change. You can't switch the name up. People, that's been burnt into people's minds for like 22
years. It has been, bro.
For real. Like,
it's impossible, dog, for me to bring you up without being asked about that line. People always say the same question Donnie asked, like Mark. That's the question I keep getting asked all the time.
Hey, man. Yeah. That's how we do.
But we did Iconic really go record. To wrestling. We did go to the wrestling, though. So we did.
We did. And what a lot of people don't realize is that what really sparked not just that line, but our relationship as boys is when we went on the Rap Essentials tour, discovered that we were both wrestling fans and fully had matches in the hotel room.
Yeah, we would have full out wrestling matches in there. They're sitting there, yeah. And then that's how we became the Seven Deadly Venoms.
I like how the pro wrestler in the room is shaking his head at you too.
Bro, because I'm telling you straight up, I've seen Dan in the ring.
It was bad.
I had to lead him a little bit, like, you know. I had to work him.
How high did you have to get?
Oh, and I wasn't even smoking back then. So
that brings me to my next question here, because the obvious is out there, and we live in a day and age where like pot is legal damn near everywhere in the world, right? The fuck come there is not a strain called Choclair yet?
There should be. That sounds like a weed
name.
That's
gotta come,
right?
Either a weed name or a dessert.
Snoop's got his.
Snoop has his own strain.
Had his, right? All these dudes got their own thing. You need to market your own Choclair. Well,
Tid, what kind of weed would that be, Tid?
Yeah, like, you know, like, I don't know. Let's find these growers and let's go and put that. I think growers out there, people, whatever. Let's go. You know, I have the hot chocolate that I'm working on, the sexual
chocolate,
hot chocolate. So I'm working on that. I might as well get a strain.
I heard Spencer Dinwiddie's got his own weed.
Yeah, they're called dandelions.
Yeah, he can't afford good weed on 1100, bro.
That guy is smoking Schnickel Fritz. If he's smoking fucking swag, man, he ain't got nothing.
So, Choclair, I want to ask you, man. You just released a few weeks ago a new track, Suave Dirt Dogs, and this track features Socrates, who we just mentioned a second ago, and ODB, Old Dirty Bastard. Now, I've heard of songs being delayed, but that brother's been dead 16 years. So what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, how
long?
16 like 2004 years.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Damn. Where did that go, man?
How is fresh music coming out now with Old Dirty Bastard?
Okay, well, what happened was we did the track, me and Sox went out and we did the track. And when we finished it, somebody in upper management, I don't really know who it was, and in collaboration with the record company, didn't secure his rights from Warner Records. So then Warner wanted a whole ton of money in American that just was not gonna happen. so they just shelved the product. But then all these, like, for anybody younger than 25 out there, these white labels came out, which were bootlegs, which is like just a record with no names on it, just kind of was out. It started coming out and people started getting it. And then going back a few years now, I'm seeing that it's on YouTube and all these other people doing it. But people couldn't find the record, like if they went on whatever, one of the digital sites or whatever, so they couldn't find it. So then, because after a certain period of time, all the rights and everything like that, and it wasn't a Virgin Music project, it was already scrubbed, like it was just done, it's a dead track. And then I was like, well, people want to go in, you know, people like it, and the people that have heard it, they say that they really like it and they wanted to go and get it. So we made it, I made it available on digital platforms so people can go and actually hear the track, because it was one of those beautiful tracks that never happened just because of the politics behind the scenes. And I got to give it up for Sox. Like, Sox did that beat. Like, there was a lot of work that went into that track. Like,
it's a great track. It's a great track. I just feel like I should have heard it in 2004, but it's a great, great track.
It's funny. So, I actually went through the exact same type of thing with the Dear Hip Hop second letter joint. We had written it and wrote it, and recorded it during the Rapid Essentials tour. But by the time I was even trying to think of releasing it, Shox, of course, was signed to Virgin and going gold with the Ice Cold album. So I couldn't release a record with Choclair on it. Exact same thing happened. All these years passed. And it's like, whatever, man, I'm putting it out now. So that's why it never appeared until the anniversary album, the one behind me. That's when we finally heard the second letter with Shox in it. It was buried for years.
I went through the same thing with my album, you know, my album where I'm the horse tooth killer. I had an album that came out where I had, you know, Kurt Cobain doing all the beatbox on the backgrounds, and I didn't get permission from Courtney Love to release it. So that shit's been shown. Wait,
Kurt, what you should have done was a Kurt Cobain. That's what you should have done.
We both had insults, Tid, and he them, and we couldn't hear it. So what
they were both clever.
Those are double shots. I said what he should have done is done a Kurt Cobain.
mine was more along the lines of now I know why Kurt Cobain shot himself. But yeah, that's worse.
You both had good punchlines.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask, especially for the musicians in the room, which would be all of you except me. I want to ask this story that came out. I can't remember if it was today or yesterday. If y'all are familiar with this guy who's, he's something, Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Oh, man.
He's something, right? So he's got a track right now that has just hit number 3 on the Billboard charts. And apparently there's a collaboration between Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber that hit number 1. And this Tekashi 6ix9ine lost his shit about him not being number 1. He believes his track should be number 1. So apparently his people did some investigating and found that there were 30,000 units of the single from Ariana and Bieber that were purchased from 6 different credit cards, affecting the totals and putting them over the top as number 1 on the Billboard charts. Billboard responded by saying, obviously, they refused to release the names on any of these credit cards for privacy reasons. Ariana Grande clapped back and said, yo, shut your mouth. You know, there are rules around Billboard. You can only have 4 votes, you know, only 4 units purchased per person, blah, 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 blah. There's all these rules in place. I'm curious to know your thoughts. Are people buying positions on the Billboard charts? Do you think that Tekashi 6ix9ine, who looks very credible in my opinion, I mean, just judging the book by its cover, he looks very credible. I'm curious to know if you guys think he may be onto something, or is this guy just nuts?
Well, okay, this is what I'll say. I'll say, have people bought the, or companies or artists themselves bought the records to go in and enhance back, especially when it when your first week sales were like all the rage? Of course they did. And then do they have creative ways of doing it? Like, you know, like if you give records to, like, so you got a promotion going with a radio station and you give the radio station like maybe 20 copies. Well, the radio station may buy 20 copies of that record from you, especially in Canada, because they have this thing promoting Canadian artists as well.
Right.
So those count as, they would count as sales too. So there is, does that work? Of course, that does happen, and it happens. It's not to say that it doesn't happen. But I don't know. I just think right now is just, he's just on one right now. You know, like he's dancing in his video with a rat face on laughing and doing like all this other stuff going on. I think he's just on one. And a lot of people are just curious because they want to watch the chaos. It's like why people watch, you know, just like, you know, tragedies happen on TV. They're just drawn to that type of madness. And so they're watching him. So his numbers are up really big, and that's probably what he is. And that's probably, that was his whole thing back in from before. It's like he was very braggadocious and whatever. And I think he's just continuing his whole Steve from before. And he's just doing it. But his big mistake is messing with Big Dog. That's going to be a problem for him.
That's Bieber's nickname in streets, Big Dog.
Big Dog. Oh, hell. Messing with Bieber, huh? But yeah,
he was messing with Snoop is what I heard. Basically clapped back and said, yo, stop bugging me. I'm not the one for you, which means one of two things to me. It means that one, either Snoop is like, listen, go do your thing. I'm old. I'm tired. I got no time for this. Just let me be. I'm going to do my thing. Or the other one is that all of a sudden you're going to hear, boom, and that's going to be the end of it. Because well, he's an old school G who knows old school G's who know old school G's.
G's, right. Yeah. And there's already other people up there, right? Right? Like, you know, out on the West Coast, and they're like, they're the, one of the things that I saw online earlier today was one of the guys, what's his name? I think it was WAC 100 or something like that. One of those guys. And he's just like, you know, how are you going to go and try to start? Like, and he's talking to him because I think he's 24. He's like, how is this 24 little whatever he called him, going to go and talk to an OG like that, like Snoop, right? Because it was NWA and then it was Snoop Dogg. And you don't mess with our coastly icons and stuff like that. So I don't know.
You know, Fashion 6ix9ine feels protected because he feels protected because he claims he's been a member of both the Bloods and the Crips. I don't know how that works, but he claims he's rocked with both.
He's got all the colors in his hair. He's down with everybody.
until you show up and pull that shit at the Source Awards and get away with it.
No, not at all.
The real problem. To me, for this whole Tekashi 6ix9ine thing, is it shows the complete and utter destruction of everything that hip hop ever considered sacred. Every last thing that we ever cared about, that we ever stood for, everything from being a dope MC to not looking or acting like a clown, to respecting the OGs, to not snitching, every last facet of anything we ever grew up on and held dear is gone. And it's not because Tekashi 6ix9ine has broken all the rules. It's because he has a following who doesn't give a fuck.
Well, those, that's the new generation.
The 2 million people who watch that Instagram shit, they don't care about any of the things we care about. And all of this, I'm the king of New York shit, and just the implications that what he's even saying by that, all the rappers he's dissing by simply calling himself that, he believes is true because he's got the numbers to back it. That is the saddest thing to come from this. The fact that he could come out of jail and everybody's talking about how he's a snitch and he's this and he's whack and he's a punk, to even make it to number three, to even get that much credit at all, says how much the generation of today has absolutely abandoned everything we stand. And forget hip hop, right? Being fucking cool and standing for something, respecting the OGs. And when I say be cool, I'm talking about like caring about your craft, bringing something new to the table that shows that you have a modicum of talent. No matter what industry you're part of, entertainment, sports, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's all gone based on him, his following, and this generation that says talent doesn't matter. It's how cool you can be, and cool has changed. That definition has changed.
Yeah, the cool has completely changed.
And that's the saddest thing about all of
this. I saw something. This one, there's something I was watching, whatever. And like, I guess the new thing is now, if you pull up in your car, if somebody's like sun tanning on the grass or the beach or whatever it is, just walk up and slap them. I'm like, you know how many people, and then they run back in the car and they take off. Like, that shit's not cool.
That's not social distancing.
And exactly. Like, it's the coolness is not the same. It's not the same.
No.
In fairness.
Imagine when we came up in the 90s, all these records we're talking about, and a man came out wearing what he's wearing, rapping the way he's rapping, talking the way he's talking. He would have had no chance. Not in the 90s.
Right.
Disagree a little bit. I don't really care what he looks. I don't really care about what he looks like his hairstyle, whatever. I guess it's just more of like more the arrogance, the just that whatever. And then exactly what you were saying before is like, you know, like, sure, everybody wants to go and be successful, make money, and do whatever they want to do off the music, for sure, because that's like joining the NBA, you're getting yourself out and whatever, you know, and you're doing that. But there's got to be a certain type of respect, and the respect between it's not there. And actually, Snoop actually said it one time. I remember, I think it was an interview, and he was almost kind of putting it on us, because he was like, we didn't nurture these guys up. They just, like, you know, by the time they went through the 97, 8s into the 2004s, 5s,
yeah,
it was just a free market running wild. People were just, you know, pumping out music, and the whole industry changed. So it was digital. You didn't have to press vinyl. It was easy. Yeah. YouTube was there. And they just went wild. And all of a sudden, Soulja Boy comes out and does a Superman. And he's like the biggest thing in the world. and yeah, that's what they came up on.
Corniness definitely took over. You're absolutely right. And it was around that era where the corniness, and we used to call it jiggy and things like that, where that was becoming completely acceptable in a way that like hip hop heads wouldn't have
accepted. Used to laugh at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason
nothing nothing is going to piss off a bunch of old head hip hop guys more than unwarranted arrogance, except mumble rap. Mumble rap, well, none of us, we can all agree that's just bullshit.
Yeah. Well, but at the same, like all of this stuff, like we're talking, like we're all of the average older crowd and stuff like that. He is not. He is of that right. same era of human
right.
that they feel like they're so entitled to everything, right? They feel very like entitled. This self-entitlement, like gimme, 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 because they've never grown up before like things were made. They never grew up before cell phones were around. They never grew up, you know, they didn't have to haul around three pagers. Like these motherfuckers don't know nothing, right? But they've always had everything. And so he is a perfect example of the people that he's speaking to. It's a bunch of pubescent Karens that are gonna grow up, right? To do absolutely nothing in their fucking lives. Right. And all of these people that are just going to glom on to this quick little thing. That's his thing. And he's just rubbing it in everybody's face.
He is.
Every chance he can get, man. It is the wrong message. And somebody, I mean, come on. At what point can you say stop?
I can confirm Tid used to have three pagers. a side note, total different story. I want to switch gears. I don't know anything about this woman because I don't watch this show. She's a star on The Bachelorette.
Oh, you liar.
I saw this on TMZ today. Hannah Brown is a star on The Bachelorette. I guess she was the main chick on the show. She's being crucified in the media right now and by fans and everything else because on Saturday on Instagram Live, she apparently dropped the N-word. So, and just for context, because I know y'all don't know who the hell she is, she's a white girl. I went and looked
her
up.
Her name is Hannah.
Hannah Brown.
It's Brown that makes her think she can use it.
I knew a sister once named Hannah. Being said, Hannah Brown dropped the N-word on Instagram Live. So I was like, wow, that's fucked up. So I went to go watch it. And I want to know you guys what you think about this. What she did was she was playing a song, Rockstar by DaBaby, which drops the N-word 14 times in the song, and she was singing along like it wasn't no thing.
Right.
And her fans went fucking bananas. What's the ruling here, fellas? What do we say? How do we feel about this?
Execution. Off with her head.
I think it's, you know... it's kind of a mixed bag here with me because it's like I think that you should self figure out things like whatever. Like if I'm at an all Jewish party or an all lesbian party or there's a couple of gay friends around where I'm at whatever, you kind of have to know what and what is what. You know, like you don't. Like, if you call your brother, like your actual brother, like a name of some sort, you probably can't call somebody that's not your brother the same name because your brother will get it, but they won't.
Right.
Sure. And I'm like saying, I get it. This thing's in the song and you could just be like singing along. But I have friends that sing along, white friends that sing along to tons of songs that have words all over the place. And for some reason, they are still able to self-edit. Maybe they say it on their own when they're by themselves in the car and they're just, and they don't mean anything by it. They're just singing the song and they decide not to self-edit. But like, if you're around other people, they just self-edit. It's like, you don't swear when your mother's around. When your mother's not around, you probably like F this and F that. Like, you know, I think it's just a little bit of like, you know, like you can always be so cool. It's like when you're an in-law, you're always so cool with the family, but you're an in-law. You know what I mean? It's like you're family, but you're not family. So like when we're talking about these type of lyrics, we're cool and everything is cool. But if you start pushing hard ends all over the place, I'm not going to think that you're racist, but I'll be like, it's very inappropriate.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the song because you're excited to say the word, there's something wrong with you. But at the same time, when I see people do this, where they go silent at that part, then it also feels weird to me. You know, it's like
That reminds me of a clip that I saw. I'm not exactly sure what film it was, but Delroy Lindo was playing a character, a black actor, Delroy Lindo, and he was on a news broadcast, and they asked him about why it is that black people use the word, but white people can't say it. And his character was like, you can say it. And they're like, no, we can't. It's like, no, go ahead, say it. You want to say it, say it. And to me, what made that scene really powerful is it draws attention to the whole concept of why you even want to say it. Why even have the question, why can black people say it and white people can't? Like, yeah, why do you want to? If you have any idea whatsoever about the history of the word, why do you wish to use it? And to Shox's point, I know people who self-edit, and I thought he made an excellent analogy, because you're right. We talk different around moms. You talk different around your kids. So now you're in public, Instagram Live, as is the case with Hannah Brown. You know, God knows how many people were watching. It shouldn't be that hard to self-edit, if not because you happen to be racist by reciting someone else's lyrics, because I agree with Shox, that might not necessarily be an indication of racism, but Shox makes a great point. The appropriateness of what you're doing and who you're doing it around suggests that you're being ignorant or foolish or disrespectful or any of the above by not self-editing, by not properly understanding what is the right and wrong thing to do in this particular situation.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, we can go back and forth on the whole thing. And listen, I may not come across looking like the kind of person who self-edits. But let me tell you straight up.
You've never self-edited in your life.
And that's the thing. You would think that. But even I am smart enough. Even I am smart enough to understand, because you got to do the do and do the do. Like, you got to understand this is the fucking world that we live in, and I can be in the privacy of my backyard mowing my lawn. I got my Amazon playlist on just cranked up in my headphones. I'm minding my own business. I got a full thing, everything from Fear Factory, everything from Hatebreed, everything from like ODB, everything from like Tribe, Ghetto Boys.
I'm glad you said those, because Dan was lost.
You know, when things like, damn, it feels good to be a gangster and stuff like that. No, I'm not singing it out loud in my backyard. It's one of my favorite songs in the world, but it's just not happening, because you have to understand, you have to be respectful to everybody. And until we can start doing that shit, everybody's going to miss the boat, man.
You guys remember that movie Office Space?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite movies ever. Oh, Dan, you parodied that movie in one of your videos.
Right.
There's a great scene in that film, right, where Michael Bolton is sitting in his car listening to some hardcore hip hop.
Ghetto Boys.
He's listening to Ghetto Boys.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's a black guy that's walking up to him in the car, and he's just like, turns down the music, rolls up his window. And then as soon as that black guy walks away, he cranks it up, and he's dropping N-bombs, and That's some real shit.
Well, it's classic too, because they play one of the Ghetto Boys records during the printer smashing scene.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, in and of itself is classic, and we parodied that as well. But I don't know, that kind of begs the question. Do you think, and maybe I'll ask Shox, but anyone can answer, is it inappropriate to even listen to it in front of, because he's playing it? Or like what Tid's talking about, like bumping it in the backyard. Let me ask you guys, do you feel ways playing hip hop that is N-word laced in front of people or publicly or in your car, anywhere where people can hear the word?
For me, no. Because to be honest, no, because.
Okay.
And honestly, it's like, they can like the song. It's not them saying it. I don't think they're choosing the song because they say the N-word so many times and whatever. It's just, that's just what the artist did, and they just appreciate the artist, and then just self-discipline, I think, comes in there. I think that if you're gonna go and it's like Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and it's a nice sunny day and you're in your backyard, maybe you play the censored version for sure. Because then you don't want to hear the hard F's and everything. Like, nobody wants to hear it. They're walking their kids around.
And that's what I'm saying, brother. It comes down to just, you have to have a certain type of sense of respect in you. Like, I've been driving my car before, pulled up at a red light, windows down. There's grown people at the bus stop. I've turned the volume down. Just on some, there's some old ladies standing right there waiting on the bus. Just out of respect.
But that's because you're light. That's because you're light skinned, and they might mistake you for a white guy, right?
And I'll be like, well, and then
you're going to get
what's this guy? What's this guy listening to? What is he listening to?
But here's the thing. It's not even hip hop related. It's not music related. Like, listen, here's the way that I look at it personally. Music is art, and what the artist decides to do with his art is completely up to him. It's not just in hip hop and everything like that. You've got a guy, Hank Williams III. Okay, the son of Hank Williams Jr., who's the son of Hank Williams Sr. Everybody knows who Hank.
You lost Dan again.
No, I did not. Dan is smart enough to know. Right? Who the fuck Hank Williams is, okay? Hank Williams III does a song where he goes, I'm here to put the cunt in country and the dick in Dixie. Right? And he goes on a shooting spree.
Those are bars.
All about new country music, right? Yeah. And how it's changed and everything like that. That's what the artist decides to do. What he does is one thing. Now, what time of the day exactly that I choose to listen to this kind of stuff, or what kind of environment I'm in that I choose to listen to this stuff, because I understand not everybody's taste is going to be my taste. You know what I mean? Not everybody's going to be into the same thing. And that doesn't even go for stuff that can be edited. I'm just saying, not everybody might, you know, I might be having a party or whatever. Not everybody's into like 80s
right. dance.
All of a sudden, not everybody's into listening to some Marvin Gaye at, you know, at 7:30 at night or whatever. Might be a little bit later on. You got to understand, like, this is how, like, let the artist do what the artist does, and then it's up to you about when you present what you think is
You know what, this is absolutely, and just how you said it was art. It was like, and I think this is the way that we could sum it all up right here. It's like, if you like art and painting, and you know your mother or your grandparents or somebody, your aunt, it's everybody's Baptist and Pentecostal and Catholic right. are coming over. Are you going to have that Michelangelo? Maybe that's a too much of a big name because he was such a big guy. Are you going to have Francois de Scarborough with a schlong pick sitting there on your mantle over your fireplace when they come up, when you know that they wouldn't be appreciated? How you take it down?
Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense.
A situation. So you just respect the situation. It's self-discipline and just know about it.
No,
I got Francois right there. That's Francois.
Just because you like crushed boob, you know, crushed velvet boobs and black light paintings and stuff like that doesn't mean everybody else is gonna like it when they come over to your place, right?
That's good. That's why you don't invite them to your room.
Exactly.
All the 1970s blaxploitation soul paintings are all up there in black light. Man. You're like, oh, you don't want to see that. Let's meet in the hallway.
Right?
That's amazing.
That's real.
Hey, before we go, Dan.
Yo.
We had some people that were messaging this week, both on godfathersofpodcasting.com as well as through Facebook, and they were asking, it's been a minute since we've been on the air and Daniel's dropped some freestyle bars. So what do you think? Can we do something maybe using some of Shockley's music and do some kind of tribute here?
A tribute to Shocks? Well, Shocks got to rhyme with me, man.
Well, not necessarily a tribute to Shocks, but use his music as the base for your freestyle.
What you saying, Shocks? You with that? You want to rock with me or what?
Okay. Yeah, sure. What are we thinking of? Are we going to have
Now, I mean, I don't want to show you guys up, so you guys feel free to take.
Yeah, no, don't let Horse Tooth spit.
Nah,
because guys know any you know any Slayer.
Slayer, no, yo. But I do know Esther. I don't know. No, Slither.
I gotta try a thing though. I'm gonna look up the Slayer record and try and rhyme on it next week. But here's the thing: this is why it's important. I've been telling Donnie this off air. Like, if I play a beat on my end,
I know it's gonna be slightly off.
So you gotta play a beat on your end when you're rhyming, Shocks. I gotta play a different beat on my end when I'm rhyming. So,
I gotta find a beat over here.
Oh yeah. Shit! So y'all gotta this is the part. This is the part, Shocks, where he says, yo, you know that new beat that I've been trying to get out? Can you play that? That's what Dan's really trying to say right now.
But
Okay, I gotta. Okay, well, you must have something already set up because I gotta.
What do you have queued up, Dan? You gonna use Let's Ride or what are you using?
Well, you know, you guys keep talking about this joint.
Oh.
I like chilling Monday Night Raw, watching me and Shaq Claire at the Sky Dome when they rock hair. We get nasty like shaved off cock hair. Danny O's on the microphone. Oh yeah, my man Shocks. We go back in the day, and everybody when they see me, they always say, "Hey, when's the last time you watched wrestling with your boy Shaq Claire? Yo, can he be testing you on the mic?" I'm like, "Yo, that's my dude." And everybody knows that we get mad rude, silly and crazy when we rocking on the mic, keeping it hype, dropping the rhymes you really like from 1996 to 2020. Oh my God, when it comes to girls, I got plenty. And girls by the plenty is the monolith track. We go back in the day, cause you know we never whack. Yo, Shockley, what up with that? Circle and mono, brothers in this game. Niggas all lame compared to us. Yo, we bust like this track. And everybody knows that piss comes out when I be going to the washroom. I say dumb shit and still like a mushroom, I blow up. But yo, not that big until I get down with my nigga, Shaq Claire, who said my name on a record and everybody heard it. Now my career has been murdered because nothing is better than getting name dropped by my man Shaq Claire, because you know hip hop wouldn't be dope without him. Because yo, that's my boy. And I'm going to play this game as if it was a toy. But here's the part that you be rhyming on, bro. So that's up to you. I'm out. Daddy O.
Damn.
It's on you now, man.
Yo, you. See how he did that? Drop the mic.
Speaker up.
dropped his mic before he even started.
This has turned into a battle more than a collab.
Okay, hold on. I'll grab the same beat here.
Let's do it.
Oh.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Let me just get the glisten off my face. Yeah. I sweat. I face up like some chicken getting cooked up. Over in the back, getting shook up. With this girl down on the knees, getting licked up. Yeah, this is Swamp Dog Thing. I'm from Bullside, T-Dot, Starbuckside. Just not the man that goes and chills in a ride. Car so low, I have to roll out. Then I walk out, girls gotta show out. I don't even know, just do a beard. Then I went and had a couple full beers. Then I went and had a couple few slips. Now I'm lift, now this girl's giving me the... I gotta be clean because probably my listening, my kids are listening. I gotta sit here just listening. Teeth just white, just ching ching. Now I go and make the bling bling. Make it back to 99 with the hot boys. Gotta be the Chiz Knock, he's making loud noise. I'm a T-Dot representer everywhere I go. Everybody know the Chiz Knock blows everything up like C4. Then I come through, I kick down the damn door. Yeah, we kick in the door, wave in my 4-4. That means I got 4 grand, 4 bands, and 4 stacks.
Woo! Yo!
The winner and me.
Where did that come from?
That's amazing. Chucks, thanks so much, man. That was wicked. Man. Listen, if people want to holler, if they want to see what you're up to, if they want to download the new track, how can they get at you? Where do they go?
Okay, so definitely come to all of my my pages. Instagram is Shockler Official, Facebook is Shockler Official, YouTube is Shockler Official. The only thing is Twitter that is just only Shockler. Make sure you check out the new song Suave Dirt Dogs with me, Socrates, and ODB. There's a song out there with called Guan Get It Girl with Matt Yu, who's from El Paso, Texas, and Cito, who's from Miami, Cuban, Miami. That one's is out there right now. It's actually doing really well. It's charting and everything. There's also the song I did with Yolanda Sargent called Soul Queen. That's out there. This is what I've been doing on Corona Vibes. I've just been like in the studio recording. Nice. And now it's crazy because now all these songs with these artists are coming out. There's Count Classy's coming out called Good Vibes is coming out. Feel the Night is coming out. And also, so these are all like, they're either out or in the next couple of weeks. But then there's also what I did last year. And then you may have saw we kind of pre-released it earlier in November. I did an EP with Classified, and The Hurt Everybody is out there right now. But there's like we have a whole album. Like we did it, recorded it, it's done, it's finished. We were trying to shoot videos in March and April, but we all know how that went. So we had to sit back and relax on that for a minute just to go and recalibrate everything that we need to go and do to make it right. But that's coming. And then just songs like, That's one thing. And I really got to thank the support for everybody out there, from everybody out there, and especially from a lot of the artists out there, because just during this time frame, it's like the amount of people that's been coming up and being like, yo, Shox, yo, we really want to get on this record. Let's do this record and whatever.
Right.
And Daniel knows the flow from back in the days. Like, you know, sometimes you do records with people and it just becomes shelved product, right? You know, like it just never happens. But we're making really good music, and these guys, they're go-getters, and they're seeing all the opportunities that's there for them, and it's coming out, and there's a lot of great music that I'm on that is coming out. These guys from the East Coast, it's called Worst Way, and they're like, they've been like East Coast Music Awards winners for like five times or something like that. They're out there, so we have that. It's more of a dancey vibe, but whatever, you know. I like CeeLo Green said, he said he didn't want to put himself in a box, so I try to go and work on all different types of music. Jaguar, I got with this group. Oh my gosh, it's just a lot of stuff coming out over the summer. And just staying busy.
I can add one to it, brother, because I'm putting together the Lockdown Remixes version of my latest album. So Shocklair is on The Day It All Changed, my latest album. So I'm actually going to be sending you that remix. I got a really dope remix for Baby Girl, which is a record you and I did with Ro Dolla and Century. So that'll also, you can add that to your list of releases coming soon.
Yeah, there we go. So then, you know, now for everybody that, waiting to go and sit there and see. Well, we have Dear Hip Hop Part 2, and then now we have this one. It's me and Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Not in the sky, though. Maybe at the back. But it's still the ACC to me.
Yeah, me and Daniel at the Performance Center, because they don't come to town.
At the Performance Center, yeah.
Horse Coot is dying to get on a track.
Well, listen, I got to say this, Shocklair, before we say goodnight, for 19 years, Daniel has been promising to put me on a track. He's a damn liar. If you want to be a brethren and put me on a track, I'm workshopping a new gimmick. I'm going to be called Donnie 6ix9ine, the King of Toronto, and I'm going to spit my bars. And I'm gonna help take you right to the top, bro. So just give me 8 bars, give me a 16, and I will spit fire for you.
Okay, you're gonna be the King of Toronto, but then
King,
you gotta
go. I'm already King of Toronto. I'm King of Toronto.
You gotta get some Skittles hair and go and sit there in a shark pennant.
Don't worry, no problem. We're down.
Yo, the only tracks you should be on, Don, are Train.
Right? Choo choo.
Like laying across
John Paul's finest, ladies and gentlemen. Shocklair.
That was a good one.
Oh, I got lots. Stick around.
The best part at the end was when you said laying across.
Yeah.
I paint pictures, brother.
Tins got bars too.
No, Shock.
Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, thank you very much. And one love to everybody out there. Everybody out there, one love. Thank you so much for all the years of your support. And check out the new music. Can't wait to see you once all this stuff is done and I'm back on the road. It's going to be fabulous. And watch out for Baby Girl coming out. Remix. You hear Rodar, Danielle. One love, everybody. One love, everybody.
Big up, bro. Thank you.
Wickedness. Right. Thanks.
7 Deadly Venom. What's up?
Yeah, 7 Deadly Venoms, baby.
Much respect, man. We'll catch you around.
Peace, y'all.
That's Shocklair, everybody. And that's how you represent yourself as an artist and do an interview, Danny Fernandez. So anyway.
No, that's Danny O.
Oh, right. Danny O. That's how you represent yourself and do a proper interview.
Thank you for letting me see how it's done.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts, fellas, before we put a bow on this one?
Lots, but I don't want to talk to you anymore, man.
Ooh, damn. No,
what I was going to say, yeah, no, I just wanted to make mention that the Seven Deadly Venoms thing that he mentioned, that's the name of the crew we came up with when we were on our Rap Essentials tour. The Rap Essentials tour had seven of us. And so it was me, YOK, and Black from the Monolith. Mm-hmm. And it was Shocklair, Ro Dolla, his boy Supreme, who was his DJ, who eventually became my DJ for a little while, and his homie Casey Thomas. So I just want to shout all y'all out too, because Seven Deadly Venoms was all of us, and it was a monumental tour that, for me anyways, really started my career, man. So
I'm glad you explained, because I know there were some nerds out there that were Googling to see if that was like a Spider-Man comic book villain or something.
Yeah, no, that was our crew within the crew name.
Right.
Way to culturally appropriate kung fu movies, Dan. You piece of shit, you.
Speaking of kung fu movies, I gotta ask you, Tid. Dan and I were talking last night. Yeah. The Last Dance documentary is now finished. All the episodes have been released. There has been an announcement, I believe, from ESPN that they are moving up the release date to June, the first week of June. They are bringing out the documentary Like Water. I think that's what it's called, or Be Water.
Yeah.
The Bruce Lee documentary. Oh my God. I am so stoked. And when you said Kung Fu, oh my God, I am so excited to see this documentary.
Super stoked about this one. And I'm very happy that they're doing it. There's a lot of stuff that, like, I hope that they touch base on, like, 'cause there's always been talk amongst people inside of the martial arts community and stuff like that, that know certain stories about Bruce and stuff like that, and how much of a great actor he actually was. And that's pretty much the end of it. But there's a lot of stories out there that I hope that they come to light, and that really paint Bruce in a proper picture for everybody to see. The one that I really think they're missing the boat on, that they should really do next, is Mike Tyson.
Oh yeah. Well, that story's still to be written.
Tyson.
We even comment on the fact that it's now been announced he's going to fight Evander Holyfield.
Legit? Is that actually, it's been announced?
He's going to fight Evander Holyfield. Because Evander's still got another ear.
I was just going to is there an ear-biting contract to stipulation? Because
I don't know if it's been signed, but it's been talked.
Technically, he's got about a year, an ear and a half before they fight.
Yeah, it was only, it's just the tip.
Yeah, it's going to be next ear.
It's bad.
Da-dum-bum.
Yeah, and I'm the only one without kids. What's up?
Rocking dad jokes.
Yeah.
All right. That's Notorious T.I.E. Chris Tidwell. Yeah, that's your bro, Danny O. My name is Donnie DeSilva, and we have had enough. Thank you so much. Go to the Godfathers of Podcasting. Buy some shit. Make sure you check us out. We're on all your favorite podcast providers. Subscribe to our Facebook page. Subscribe to our Instagram page. And until next week, just remember, we have been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting.